different strokes. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, along with Brother Rufus Edmonston, former Secretary of State and Attorney General in North Carolina, the current Secretary General of Gardening in North Carolina.
Well, good morning.
As proclaimed by Governor McCrory, Secretary of State Elaine Marshall, and
like one listener one time said, what do you get paid for that? I said, well, nothing. That's a service to the public.
What are your duties?
Yeah, on my duties, show up. The first thing in life to success is show up.
Show up, yeah. That's a good start. And Phil Campbell, one of my favorite people in the world, is here.
Good morning,
thank
Mike.
You for being with us.
Good morning, everybody.
You didn't bring any donuts or anything?
No, Cindy's on vacation right now.
Cindy, why are you on vacation?
I know. She
not that I would eat them, but I love them, but I don't eat them.
She actually took off sometime in June, and they're not coming back till the 23rd, so I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are having...
Y'all are off this week, too, I bet.
We're off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
This past week and this upcoming week.
Well, thank you for staying in town and doing this. I know you'd probably rather be someplace else.
But... No, I'd rather be right here.
Okay.
It's great.
Well, we have a good time. Scott Zona is with us. And I originally brought Scott on because he is author of A Gardener's Guide to Botany, the biology behind the plants you love, how they grow, and what they need. And when I mentioned botany, don't get scared. Don't turn the radio off, because this is really interesting stuff, because it's so we can understand things. And now I find out that you are the master of the plant toolbox at NC State, and I had no idea. I mean, it was like you were AI or something, Scott Zona AI, because, it's just, this is a collaborative effort, but you kind of suck it all in, right?
Well, good morning, Mike.
And organize it. Good morning.
Yeah, I work kind of behind the scenes with the plant toolbox. I manage the content and supervise a whole team of Extension Master Gardener volunteers who do a lot of the actual work of writing the content to put into the plant toolbox. But I sort of manage the thing overall.
Yeah, but you're a gardener.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that you are you love palm trees.
Well, my training as a research botanist is in palms, and I spent many years doing research on palms.
Well, Rufus and I are the proud owners. I don't know, Phil, if you have a windmill palm or not, but I have a couple in my landscape.
Excellent.
And I just love them. They have their own personality. They're kind of furry.
Yeah.
And you feel like rubbing them, although it's kind of coarse hair.
Well, several years ago, Scott, I put a windmill pot in the corner outside of the house, and it's now at least 25 to 30 feet tall.
I know, and it grows these yellow things in the spring.
Oh, my gosh. Those things are scary.
They are. I said, oh, my gosh, something's wrong with this. A growth. What are they? Are they seeds?
Well, they produce flowers, a big flower stalk under the kind of below the crown.
That's
leaves.
A flower?
There's lots of little flowers. And then if they're pollinated, if you've got enough plants and they're pollinated, then, they'll produce fruits and seeds.
How about that? I just love palm trees. And, North Carolina doesn't really have a native palm. It's kind of right on the edge of South Carolina.
I think it just gets over into Cape Fear area.
Right. And mostly it's just kind of sand and scrub the maritime forests,
right,
as they're called.
Right.
But I do love palms, so we already have something in common. I don't know a lot about them, but my gosh, I mean, there's so many different types of palms. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm also the co-editor of Palms, which is the Journal of the International Palm Society. And so, we palms and I go way back.
See, we don't mess around when we have guests on the show.
That's great.
I bet that's your favorite book in the Bible, too.
Palms.
Palms. All right, let's see.
It's too early for bad puns.
Yeah. So we're gonna we got a couple of callers here. I want to get into a Gardener's Guide to Botany and find out about this. A beautiful book. It really is gorgeous.
You. It is a nice. It's very well done.
Oh my gosh, what is that?
He's showing me a picture of the roots coming out of the bottom of a corn stalk or maize.
Good Lord!
The prop roots.
And that's some. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody, if you love corn, we just ate it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they probably don't look like that right now with as dry as it is.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Let's go to Steve before we get in fully to botany and talk about everything else. Because Scott, what's your PhD in?
My PhD is in botany.
Botany, okay, yeah. Steve, what's your PhD in? Hemericallis? Hemericallis.
I have an honorarium.
So how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm tired. I had to go to a doctor's appointment yesterday in that 160 degrees.
Oh, I know.
And it just sacked. Tell you what, just stepping out into this Turkish bath is...
I know. It was 93% humidity on my thermometer this morning.
You walk outside and your clothes all instantly stick to your body.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're down to 59 plants.
And you had 300 and some daylilies at some point?
59 was the peak.
Yeah.
And we're down to 59 now.
Mm. Well, when do you get some reblooming? When will that come in, Steve? Reblooming.
We're into reblooms, and there are some late bloomers that are starting to bloom now. And then we've got a couple of them that are just absolutely, we have one called Jen Millen that is just beyond itself with the amount of blooms that it has on it this year.
Well, the one that I won the contest with.
Apparently the deer are very hungry.
Yeah.
They are.
Because the I Must Garden deer repellent seems to be a flavoring for the
oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Well, it's been so dry. I think animals are just having really real problems finding food.
Well, I got a couple of rabbits in my garden, and they haven't bothered my tomatoes, and they haven't bothered the daylilies. But I had a short coneflower in the backyard, and that sucker cleaned every bloom off of that thing.
It's shorter now.
Coneflowers.
Dead-headed.
They are so
pretty.
Let
me ask you a question, Steve. The daylily that I won the prize for, the greatest thing coming to me a long time, Scott, I had a daylily show up in North Hills.
Crabtree.
I brought something to be identified. And Steve said, "Well, let's put it in the show." And Dogfoot didn't win a blue ribbon.
And it was really pretty.
And it was a daylily. It's a double bloomer, my mother, and it is still blooming, Steve.
It's called Flora Plena.
What is it?
Flora, Flora Plena, Plena. Plno. I'm sorry.
Flora Plena. Plno.
Yeah, Plno. Flora Plena.
Okay.
And it is a North Carolina ditch lily. They use it in especially in the mountains. If you go up there, you'll see a lot of those double oranges up there.
Right. Well, now I've got it down.
The road.
And Flora Plena.
They seed themselves, so they're spreaders.
Yeah, they sure are.
Yep.
Steve is schizophrenic. He has several voices that he.
We've been trying to just work in the mornings and then just let the air conditioning do its job. It's just intense.
He's a ventriloquist.
Ventriloquist.
And I am irrigating like a crazy trying to keep my garden wet, at least damp. Don't want to die. All right, I'll let you guys go. Thank you very much for letting me call in.
Steve, thank you. Thanks to your wife.
And stay cool.
Club meeting is in August, the second Sunday in August at the J.C. Ralston Event Center at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll be here before you know it.
I've always wanted to be a ventriloquist, Steve.
Oh.
He even laughs in another voice. Steve, you're just a wonder.
Yes, sir. My other voice is a lot higher pitched than mine.
That's all right. That's okay.
Good job.
Hello, dear.
A lot more authority, too, Steve.
That's right, a lot more authority.
My spell checker and my accountant and my event secretary, she is a...
I know all about it. I have the same thing at home.
And a treasure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Steve, thank you.
This is the gardener. I'm just the hole digger.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Richard is with us. Richard, good morning. You're on WPTF's Weekend Gardener, sir.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got proof positive that Rufus's garden was done with taste. Now, the fawn was content with the low brows, and the doe preferred the high brows. And when the deer daddy showed up at the gate, he said, "The buck stops here."
That's pretty good right there now.
You know, I have come to the conclusion that that this is not the Weekend Gardener, that it's Allen's Alley. It's a Fred Allen show, because we just hope. I need to get door sound effects. So we got Richard, and then we have Steve, and then we have Richard, and you know it goes on and on. So,
well, Richard, that was good, because I think of that about that little fawn so often. I hope he's doing well and finding some good water, because Mama sure came back within an hour's time frame and took that baby out of there. And Phil is the one that told me. I called her about it, and she said, "Don't worry." I said, "Well, I'm afraid the Mongol hordes will come in at nighttime." And Phil said, "No, she will not let them near that fawn, because that's a protective mother."
That's right.
And that was so true. And the little mama deer, she went out, though, took some good clips off of the gardenias.
All right.
She said, "I'm not leaving this Edmondson garden without something to eat."
Well, that's a tiny animal.
Well, that's why she had her there. Because she knew she was safe there, and the other deer weren't there. And it was just a safe place. Your place is safe.
I've always felt like that anyway there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you guys caused it, because when you brought me back from Lillington.
It's our fault.
I left the gate open.
We shouldn't have stopped at the bar in Collibbit Springs.
That's right,
yeah.
If we had just gotten there sooner.
The bar's out behind the church, wasn't it?
I guess. I don't know. Richard, I didn't mean to disturb you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. One of the things a couple weeks ago that made me really appreciate our gardens was we had a couple folks show up to flip the mattress for us, and we have gardenias all around the front door. And one of the workers said, "Wow, what's that great smell?" I said, "Those are gardenias." And so I asked him, "Where are you from?" He said, "Queens." Well, a lot of people have never smelled a gardenia, and so we're just real thankful to have all these things in the garden. And I was equated gardenias with baseball season. When we were little, when it smelled of gardenias, it was Little League time.
Well, I always do it for Bible school, because I used to pick those and take them to my teacher at Bible school.
Mm-hmm. I loved Bible school. We had it in the morning. It was a different era, though. It's at night now,
yeah,
mostly.
It was
because,
early in the
mornings. People are busy and they're working, yeah. But back then
it was fun.
It was. To get up, you'd.
So every time I see
it's like going to Captain Kangaroo's.
Yeah. Every time I see and smell a gardenia, I think about my Bible school teachers. Yep. Yeah. It's pretty special.
Well, when I can't remember the name of gardenia, I think of Garfield, the assassinated president. Now, that's what you call association. I know that's apropos of nothing, but when I can't remember what a gardenia is, I think of
Garfield?
Yeah, Gar.
Why don't you think of Garfield the cat instead?
Yeah. By the way, my older ones are now just, the blooms are all over. Time to prune, right, Phil?
I would. Mine are just, I've still got a few on mine, but yeah, I'd go ahead. It's so hot. They're just burning. The blooms are burning. So, yeah, you're not going to get much out of them right now.
Yeah.
On the critters, what I've done is I've got some critter water out there. I take an old bird bath and put it at ground level so that the rabbits and everything else can access it, keep them away from the crops.
Well, you know, Richard, I saw a squirrel drinking out of a bird feeder that's about 3 feet off the ground yesterday. That was pretty sad.
Oh, yeah.
You don't usually
I'm
see
not
him
a bird
drinking
feeder.
Out of...
I mean a bird bath.
The
bird bath. Right. No, I mean, and it sit there for a long time and just you know, drank itself. I was so glad that it could get up there and drink the water, and I've got some lower. But it's really, yeah, it was sad.
Well, this morning, we've got one of those short bird bath stands, real mm-hmm. small one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a daggum rabbit on top of it.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
First you look out there, who bought that ceramic rabbit? No, that's a real rabbit.
Wow.
They're all over the place.
Well, they can hop. They hop right up there.
Yep, and of course my favorite rabbit of all time is Bugs, but... Well, anyway...
it went right over my head.
Bugs Bunny.
Don't count on me to always catch a punchline,
okay.
Richard. It just doesn't happen.
Leave the punchlines for George Foreman.
My mind is all over the place. Leave the punches for George Foreman. Rufus met George Foreman sometime recently.
Yes, we had a.
He didn't hit you, did he?
No, he looked like he hit me though.
Yeah.
Yes, and I met Muhammad Ali's wife.
Oh.
Who could really lay a hurting on you? she was. My mother said big boned.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Well, last time I had jury duty. The case was so ridiculous when it came time to select the jury foreman. I said, well, I nominate George. You know, George the foreman.
Richard, it's just, do you just want to stop now? Or
I like that.
I better, let folks get back on the gardening train.
Well, I'm going to shut the door and go to Claghorn next. Senator Claghorn.
Jay Leghorn.
Well, Senator Leghorn is based on Claghorn. So yeah. The rooster was based on Senator Claghorn from the Fred Allen show. So, and I thought he was funnier than Leghorn anyway.
So. Yeah, and they always stereotype people from the South, especially.
I know, and as well as we should be.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. Some of us.
Well.
Like me.
That's about all I've got for today. I don't want to be an air hog.
Well, don't be a hog in anything.
Yeah.
Just hang in there with the chitlins.
Oh, yeah. But, I think chitlins are made out of pork intestines, aren't they?
Yes.
Last I heard.
Well,
that's right.
Now, what's funny is you go to the store and see these chicken dogs, and people think, oh, I'm not eating any pork product, but it's in natural casing. Well, what do you think a chitlin is? It's a pork casing.
Well, we leave you with that, ladies and gentlemen, as we head to the news here on WPTF. Richard, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Y'all have a great one.
You too.
We're back on WPTF at 8:35. 919 Phil.
Come on back
over
here.
Get back over here. It's all right. We're trying relentlessly to please Rufus.
To please an old man.
Because you have chugged a Dr. Pepper this morning.
Yeah, and I normally do about half and half during the program. And now with this fierce, uninhabitable world of heat, I have gone almost over a half of my Dr. Pepper. And yeah. We were showing signs of
These are the kinds of horrible things that we have to deal with on this show.
It's one crisis after another.
I know it is. You know, I was looking through Scott's book, A Gardener's Guide to Botany, and there's a beautiful picture of a daylily there.
That's right.
Tell us about this daylily. And you're talking about the stamens in it?
Yeah. I was using the picture of the daylily to talk about how the stamens, which are produce the pollen in the male part of the flower, are spatially separated from the stigma, which is the female part of the flower. And if you look at a daylily, the stamens are kind of curved to one side and the stigma curves a little bit less to one side. So they're spatially separated. And that's in part to keep the pollen from the flower's own anthers from pollinating the stigma. Plants like to cross with other plants. They don't want to necessarily pollinate themselves. So flowers have these clever things like the way they're spatially separated, the stigma and the stamens, so that they don't accidentally self-pollinate.
No incest there.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I wasn't going to say that, but... Yeah. And there's a the photo beside it is makes it kind of translucent.
Yeah, that's a flower in the crucifer family, and it's been chemically cleared, and then stained with a fluorescent dye that stains the pollen tubes of germinating pollen, and so that's what we're seeing there in that picture.
This is just a fascinating book. You have something titled here called, I haven't read the whole thing, Ammunition for the Soap Wars. And this is S-A-P-O-N-I-N-S.
Saponins.
Saponins. What are saponins?
Saponins are naturally occurring compounds that will foam up in water similar to soap, and in fact sometimes they're used as kind of a soap substitute, but they're produced by plants and they have an antifungal property, and so they are part of the plant's chemical arsenal to prevent fungal attacks.
How about that? Well, are there some roses that need that?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, not every plant makes lots of saponins. So.
There's probably some fescue lawn grass that could use some saponins. And, gosh, a beautiful photo. Are you a photographer?
Some of the photos are mine in here, but some of them are from colleagues and friends. But yeah, I love taking pictures of flowers because I love talking about plants, and I post on social media about plants all the time. So I like having lots of photos to use.
Well, Scott, do you have a farm background by any chance?
I don't. No.
Well, how did you become interested in botany?
I became interested. My grandmother, when I was about 6 years old, gave me, this was when I lived in Florida, she gave me a little plant that turns out it's an invasive weed. It's a horrible plant, but it grows about 6 inches a day, which is great for a little kid, you know, to be able to see the progress. And that got me hooked on plants. And by the time I was in, I don't know, third grade or fourth grade, I wrote a little essay that my mom saved and said I wanted to be a botanist when I grew up.
Wow. And how many kids say that?
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah, by the time I got to college, you know, all the kids were like, you know, they didn't know what they wanted to major in, but I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
So did you sit there and try to watch that plant grow?
Well, I did not sit there in front of the plant. But,
I think I probably would have done that for a while.
It was amazing because I could, you know, go to bed and the next morning – it would be taller, you know. It's an amazing plant. Mm.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like Florida around here this morning, doesn't it?
I think Florida's cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a photo here. It looks like sand covering a plant.
Yeah.
Is that sand covering a plant?
That is. Those are plants that are very sticky, and these are plants from mostly from desert areas out in the Southwest, and they secrete chemicals on their surface that makes them sticky, and they acquire sand just from the blowing around. And ecologists have studied that and shown that the plants that have sand on them are protected against critters that want to eat the leaves, because obviously nobody wants to eat something that's covered in sand.
You know? Yeah.
It was an interesting discovery that this is beneficial for the plant to have that sand stuck to its leaves.
Do you have any night blooming cirrus in your book? Do you have a picture of that?
I don't think I have a picture.
Or anything about it?
No, I think I mentioned night-blooming flowers, but I don't think I have a picture of it now. Yeah.
I've got some, and you were talking about watching things grow. Well, you can just watch those open, literally.
Yeah, those are amazing, yeah.
Well, the one you gave me in a pot has bloomed one time, and it ran along the ground about 3 feet, and I watched it one night, mm-hmm. and it hadn't bloomed since. I think I need to repot it. Venus flytrap has always amazed me. Why is it that North Carolina, in a certain area, seems to be the favorite place in the whole world for the Venus flytrap?
It's the only place where it's native, yeah. It's
in
North
Brunswick
Carolina,
County.
A little bit of South Carolina, but it's this part of eastern North America. It's the only place in the world where you can find Venus flytrap growing naturally. Why that is, I couldn't tell you. Obviously, it likes certain environmental conditions, but those environmental conditions, the kind of the wet soil, those are found in lots of places in the world.
Yeah.
But why this plant is confined to this area, I can't tell you.
Is it against the law to take them in the wild now?
I'm sure
it should be.
Got arrested not too long ago for digging them up.
Okay. And you get a license plate, or you will be able to.
Yeah, that's right. Just released, yeah. Yes.
That's right. Yes.
And there's no reason to dig them up because they can be propagated commercially and purchased very easily.
Right.
So they're but they are amazing plants, absolutely amazing.
There are a lot of, carnivores
plant.
So what makes it's very animal-like. What makes a plant a plant?
Oh, well, there's lots of differences between plants and animals. They are in separate kingdoms. The plant kingdom and the animal kingdom are different in terms of their classification. But plants have certain features like hard cell walls. So they have rigid cell walls, whereas animals don't have rigid cell walls. The cell wall is just a membrane. They don't have cell walls at all. They have a membrane. Plants have cell walls. Most plants have chlorophyll, which is the green pigment that helps them photosynthesize, and they are therefore able to create their own food or manufacture their own food from sunlight. Animals can't do that. So there's lots of other differences, but those are the kind of the two main differences.
The hard cell wall for protection?
It certainly is a protective feature, and it gives them also rigidity. That's just something that they have. Cell wall made out of cellulose. Fungi have hard cell walls, but they're made out of a different material, and fungi are not plants. So they're a different kingdom altogether.
Wow.
No, you say that human beings are thin-skinned.
That's true. I have found that to be. What a beautiful cone. I wish you could all... You're going to have to buy the book to see all of this stuff. But this orange cone.
Oh, yeah. That's
it looks like a Mahonia. It's hooked to a Mahonia, but that's not a Mahonia.
No, it's a cycad, which is an ancient lineage of conifers. And these are mostly tropical conifers. They're very palm-like in their growth.
Do they grow in Florida?
They do. There's one native one in Florida called the Kunti Zamia, but this one in the photo is a South African one, and this has that cone is about a foot long, in bright orange, and unfortunately most of the cycads in the world are endangered. They're confined to very small habitats, and those habitats are very much in danger.
Well, there are a lot of spines here. Is it trying to protect itself from something?
Definitely, yeah. Spininess is kind of the first line of defense for a lot of plants, for large grazing animals, yeah.
I have a huge Mahoney, and we cut it back some because we just had our windows replaced, and I warned people putting in the windows. I said, you don't want to trip and fall into that Mahonia. So, Big John is here. Big John.
Oh, my goodness. Big John the
caretaker.
He's
with us. Big John, how are you this morning, sir? Were you did you hear the word botany and it just sprung you into action or what?
I'm sorry?
Why are you calling, John?
I've got a vegetable joke for you. First of all, good morning, Rufus. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
This is the
and
door
Scott's
where you
here.
Open Senator Claghorn on yeah. Allen's Alley is Big John.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, John.
Y'all are boarding the element?
Yeah. We're pretty cool in here.
Let me ask you something before I forget it. Are you going to DJ?
Cool up there with you.
Hey, are you going to DJ at the at my class reunion?
What year is that, Phil?
Oh, No. You're not going to get me on that one. No, it's
come clean.
It's supposed to be in October. It's the 60th. Thank you.
Oh, well, six, that's not too bad if you're a tree, you know. But
what school are you talking about, Phil?
Carrie, he knows.
Carrie High School. What are you talking about, Willis? Rufus, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. I just told Mike and Phil before the show that my dear second wife and your dear close friend Cheryl broke her ankle.
Yep.
And you're having to be a caretaker. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in mourning.
John, do you pick her up and carry her around?
Like a sack of potatoes.
Well, don't do that. Be gentle.
Yeah, at least cradle her like a baby.
Right. I mean, she's a precious.
You know I'm taking care of a guy.
All right. Well, we just wanted to make sure of that.
I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Oh, my goodness. John, you already had breakfast. Where'd you eat breakfast this morning?
I cook. You know, I'm a great cook, yeah.
You like to cook?
We had some chitlins and string beans.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you.
Just kidding. Just a simple. It was a kiss meal. Keep it simple, stupid, you know. Bacon and eggs and some watermelon and a muffin. That was pretty good.
Yum.
I figured you'd go to the farmer's market or Watkins or someplace.
Yeah, you know, I probably would be there, me and her, but like I say, I got an invalid here, so I got to. She's wearing a boot.
Oh, you better watch it then.
Boots are made for walking.
I just want to bend over. She might kick me. I don't want to be.
Yeah, that's right.
She has. Well, she should.
I deserve it if you do.
Yeah, you do.
Y'all guys, y'all staying cool?
Yeah, trying. Pretty much so, yeah.
Can I throw a vegetable joke in there for you this morning?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay. All right. Why did the tomato blush?
You got me, baby.
He saw the salad dressing.
Doctor, you didn't know you were going to hear things like this morning.
Good deal, John.
You just didn't know what to expect. That's why I told you if you feel like you don't want to stay at some point, you can.
Well, Cheryl, if you're listening, Dr. Scott Zona came to us by way of Sarah Harrington.
That's right.
Our Sarah that worked with us for a while, and I told him about sending her up north to a big antitrust case one time, and she'd never even walked through a courthouse door, but she performed very admirably, and we thank Sarah for being such a good person, and she is the reason that Scott Zona is here today.
Yeah,
she suggested
right.
him.
That's right. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's listening to you.
All right.
Nodding her head.
That's good.
You know she's bachelor like that.
Oh, yeah.
But,
that's right.
Now, we just want to check in with you guys early on and hope things are well with everybody. So,
far as we know.
Mike, you do a great job. Take care of my buddies up there with you.
All right.
I shall take
good care of them, John. Thank you, too, my friend.
All right, man. See you soon. Stay blessed. Right. Take care.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
See? Just like Alan's Alley. 919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. It's 8:50. We're back on WPTF at 8:55 of the Weekend Gardener. Chip Winstead, my friend and colleague, just sent me a photo. He said, just kill this copperhead in the middle of the backyard. Tell folks to be careful.
Yep.
Doggone right. Yeah. Have you encountered copperheads?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
I have not either.
We have.
But I'm sure you have. Yeah. Yep. With that palatial estate of yours there. But I mean, you have bodies of water. I don't have any water around. They usually like water. I don't know what Chip's got. I don't know if Chip has a creek, but I'm sure they're suffering just like everything else. I did when I was a lifeguard at a camp, Methodist camp. Once I was out in the woods walking, I encountered a rattlesnake.
Whoa.
And boy, did he cut up. I sure didn't know where he was, and I turned around and went the other way.
Yeah,
good advice.
Be careful about copperheads. Be careful where you place your hands.
That's the thing.
Or where you walk.
Yeah.
You know, just be careful out there.
Yeah, I was at the church one time checking on some flowers in the columbarium area. And there's cement there on the ground. So it was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Started getting cool a little bit, and there was a copperhead laying right across. Mm. I did not see it
that
when
was
I walked
serpent.
In. Yes, trying to warm a little bit. Yeah. I walked over it when I walked in. Didn't even see it, and I started back out in Carlton. My husband said, "Stop."
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop, look, and listen.
Yeah, I was getting ready to walk back over him again. I'd already made him a little ill.
You know, all of this hot weather is tough on us. It's also tough on our vehicles, our cars, our SUVs, trucks. And so you need to go to King's Auto Service to get a checkup, just like you do with your doctor. Summer checkup, whenever. But just realize that the battery is being harmed greatly. I know it might not start in February or January when it's real cold, but it is being harmed right now with this heat. That's what does a battery in. So get that checked. Get everything checked. Make sure your air conditioning is running well. Don't want it to give out at by the end of the summer. Cabin air filters, filters, you know, and brakes, tires, let them check everything. It's a great idea and a great service that they provide. You can get a courtesy battery analysis, by the way. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, they can check those too, because they have certified hybrid technicians at King's Auto Service. They've been in business since 1946. They've been around a big part of Raleigh for a long time. They're located in downtown Raleigh on Northwest Street. That's 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh. And let them, if you have the hybrid and the hybrid battery, the battery could go out at some point, you know, 150,000, 200,000 miles, may go longer than that. But you want to check it every once in a while. And if it starts giving out, they can provide you with another battery at a lower cost than the dealer might be able to. So do like a lot of people in Raleigh have done for generations. Go to King's Auto Service in downtown Raleigh. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We have a couple of more hours, 919-860-9783.